Hi, I'm Brittany Ashley, your host of Breaking Norms, Building Dreams, your guide through this transformative journey in both business and life. This is your place crafted for dreamers, doers, or anyone who has been told they can't. Get ready as we challenge those narratives together. You're tuning in live to the United Public Radio Network, airing on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. We are streaming on all the popular platforms every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join me for a candid and thought-provoking conversation celebrating your unique journey because you are worth it. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here with you all today. Welcome to Breaking Norms, Building Dreams. I'm your host, Brittany Ashley, and we are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. Get ready to escape the routine and join us for the next hour as we break norms and build dreams. I'm so excited to have our guest here today, Janine. Thank you for coming. I'm so excited to have you. Well, everybody's listening. I've been super sick last week. So if I start coughing, I will mute myself. And Janine, you can just like talk if I'm struggling.
Sounds good.
I'm doing a lot better today. So hopefully we can make it through the next hour. But everyone, I'm so excited to introduce Janine. Janine is a confidence and sexual empowerment coach, supports women who've put their sexuality on the back burner to reignite their spark and being more pleasure, passion, and playfulness back into their lives. Through using tools like breathe work, inner child healing, and pleasure practice, she creates a pathway for holistic, long-lasting transformation and building confidence, connecting to your authenticity, awakening the pleasure, trusting your intuition, and softening your into your feminine energy. Love that so much. And I've known you before you started this journey too. So I'm excited to kind of see, well, tell our listeners how that transition happens and where you are today. So tell everyone who you are. I know I did my mini introduction, but I love to like pass the floor over to you.
Thank you so much for having me. And hello to everyone listening in. I'm Janine, a sexual empowerment coach. What can I share? Like, should I share about the journey or personal tidbits or what would you like?
Let's start with how, cause you used to be more like a influencer, I guess some would say. So I've known you from that end to this end. So I would love for you to kind of explain like how you started there to where you are today.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I started out as a content creator and also helping small businesses with online marketing. So I have quite the background in website design, social media, email marketing, and that sort of thing. And so that really stemmed from a project in college that I needed something to carry me through the year. And I had thought about content creating off and on for a while leading up to it. So I decided to give it a go. And really gave it a solid go for, over 5 years. Yeah, it was probably closer to seven. I started out before I had kids. And my big drive for that was that I loved helping other women. I would be the friend in the friend group that different friends would come to for tips and tricks or advice on all different kinds of things. So that's what kind of really pushed me into it. And then as I became a mom, everything changed and my life got turned upside down and I wasn't as focused on fashion and beauty as I was before, so shifted into motherhood. And through that journey, I know like my personal experience and the different moms I connected with, I just really wanted to provide a safe space to let it all hang out. I feel like when I became a mom, there was a lot of this like picture perfect idea of motherhood on social media. It's definitely shifted a lot in the last 6 or 7 years, but at the time it was very picture perfect. And I remember scrolling and seeing this image of this mom with her under 1 year old and she had her makeup done. She looked beautiful. It was a beautiful picture and like what a great memory for them to have. But I remember scrolling and seeing it and being like, my motherhood looks nothing like this, like at all. And so I really wanted to put the more authentic side out there, put for the different struggles, the like loss of identity, the resentment, being touched out, and all of these things. And so I really became this community leader, leading conversations through Instagram, doing different Poll Mondays and things like that. And I really enjoyed connecting and doing things in that way, but it got to a point where it didn't really feel like it was it for me anymore. I was spending hours and hours and hours on social media, and I'm someone who like actually doesn't like to be on my phone at all, which is a really odd fit for a content creator. And I wanted to make a bigger impact. And so I tried shifting things up, creating an online community. I began being a connector and a facilitator for different workshops, bringing different experts in to talk about healthy hormones and communication and setting boundaries and different things like that. And still, it wasn't quite it. I wanted to really make that impact, be that expert, rather being that connector for others. And so at my time of really reflecting on all of this and having established a decent platform and getting sponsorship income and things like that from it, I came across Layla Martin's, one of her free 21-day self-care challenges. And I fell in love with the work. And I think within 2 months, probably, I decided to walk away from it all and go all in on this new dream, I guess it was, to be at the time, which was a women's empowerment coach. Going through that program completely changed my life. And I learned about the power of pleasure practices and slow pleasure and sacred sexuality. Before, I was very much a proponent for self-care and really taking care of yourself. But it was through this that I learned this whole other set of tools that are available to us and how using these impacts us in such a great way. So much bigger ripple effects than other self-care I was used to. And so I just knew, like, this is my mission, this is my dharma in life, is to help women in this specific way, because it is not talked about, not known about. I think this wisdom has been hidden from women for a long, 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 long time. And that's because it's how we get our power back. It's how we are able to lead not only ourselves, but also our families and everyone we interact with. And so that's what's brought me here to be a sexual empowerment coach.
I love that. And then such a switch from what you were doing before. We're getting some feedback here. Just seeing. Such a switch from what you're doing before. But I remember like even thinking like, I haven't seen her in a while. I hope she's doing okay. And then we randomly came, you came to the networking event. It feels like months ago now, but it's only like, I guess, a month and so ago when I was doing the public speaking. And I saw you and I was like, oh, you've changed like into this role. I'm like, I love it. I love that you're doing this, because it's not really talked about, other than like, I'm trying to think of this show. Maybe it's Too Hot to Handle. I don't know. It's some show that they make the woman go and actually self-discover themselves again. And it's usually with a sexual empowerment coach like yourself, because they end up going, through all these different traumas and they don't put themselves first. I can't remember if it's Too Hot to Handle, guys. I'm not like 100% sure. I watch a lot of different TV shows. But yeah, no, I love that. Thank you for sharing your story. How did you find, I'm interested to hear a little bit more of like the course that you also took. It sounds like that was like the transformational change in you that you saw, but maybe if anybody's else listening, for anyone thinking that they want to do that as well or navigate that venture.
Yeah, sure. So I took Layla Martin's VITA coaching certification. Mm-hmm. And VITA stands for Vital Integrated Tantric Approach. So mm-hmm. it's a 650 plus hour certification. It is very in depth with the core process over a year. And so mm-hmm. with all of our classes and practicums, we also had meditations and embodiment practices mm-hmm. to do at like 3 to 5 times a week to mm-hmm. really go through the process ourselves and be able to fully embody it, as well as leading others through. And the foundation of the program is really self-love, safety, and belonging, and to be able to find that inside and create that for ourselves from the inside out, not mm-hmm. looking for approval for others or staying yeah. small to feel safe, really mm-hmm. finding that within ourselves. And I think that's why it's so, so profound. And this particular program has this like beautiful blend of the mystical and the science. So it's rooted mm-hmm. in Tantra and Taoism, as well as neurobiology, somatics, attachment therapy. Mm-hmm. So it's this really cool blend. And I do a lot of shadow work and inner child healing, and that's from the lens of somatics. So when I'm speaking with a client, for example, say someone starts to shut down when it comes to being their authentic self or for speaking up for their needs and their partnership. So mm-hmm. we'll start exploring like, okay, how do you feel when those moments come up? Mm-hmm. And this could present itself as like a tightening of the chest or like a hunch across the shoulders or different physical sensations. And so we begin to explore that. These are all different parts of ourselves that have been imprinted on our nervous system, on our body, throughout our life. And mm-hmm. so I go in and really look at this in that holistic way, coming down to kind of the source of these things. What mm-hmm. do these pieces want? Like, why are they showing up? Our body is so smart and it holds so much wisdom. And so these things are coming up in this way to tell us something. Mm-hmm. And it's the common thing to shut these things down, to ignore them, play it cool, do the thing, hide, different things like that. And so I really give an opportunity to give these pieces a voice to mm-hmm. really let us know what's going on. Generally, it's a protector piece. What are they trying to protect us from? What happened when we were a kid that made us shut down mm-hmm. and begin to give these things a new role or work through these things in different ways so that true deep healing can happen in a way that is so much more lasting than talking about it. Mm-hmm. Talking about it definitely has a time and a place. And I think it gets to a point when someone's very self-aware, they've worked through their traumas, they understand what's going on, but they're still repeating those same patterns. Mm-hmm. And that's because that somatic piece still needs to be looked at. They can logically understand why they do these things, logically understand what they could be doing or should be doing, but they still are stuck in these patterns. They still have this response that their body is going to do no matter what until that is looked at. So mm-hmm. I really give the opportunity to go into the body and really transform at that deep, deep level. And I blend the meditations, pleasure practices, and all of these different things into that.
That's amazing. Do you find that a lot of your clients that you work with end up having a lot more, like come from like childhood trauma? To like, you really need to go into the behind the scenes, I guess, before they can overcome what they need to being their authentic self.
Great question. So trauma, just to clarify, for simplicity, there's like big T trauma and little T trauma. Okay. So big T trauma can be looked at as, say, like an abusive parent, mm-hmm. some sort of like sexual abuse situation, different bigger experiences or situations that can leave a really big imprint. Yeah. And so that's like deeper trauma. Then there's little T trauma, mm-hmm. which is any kind of experience that leaves an imprint in the body. And so these can be smaller things like being picked on in school, having an embarrassing moment in class. having your first boyfriend make a comment about your body, or perhaps that first boyfriend leaving you for another girl, or different things you observed your parents say about something you identify with, and perhaps they didn't even know that. And so that's more that little T trauma. And so I tend to work with people who have already resolved their big T trauma, if they have that, but they have all that little T stuff going on. And so it pretty much always, I think it's safe to say across the board, the women I work with have this little T trauma. It's these different experiences. And that's what's deep, deep underneath the layers.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. And especially like seeing some of your content, I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. But also too, I'm like, oh, can't talk about that.
Yeah.
It just seems like growing up and generally speaking, like you don't really bring this kind of conversation up. So now like seeing your content, I'm like, oh, I love what she's doing. But I'm like, oh, I don't know how to really talk about it either. So I don't know. Do you have any tips for anyone who's just kind of navigating this now or like interested to learn more on how to like to make those first little steps and making it also too? Because for me, when I see stuff like this, I'm like, oh, don't want to talk about it, and kind of climb up and like anxiety hits in a little bit. For somebody else, it could be something totally different. Maybe they're just feeling uncomfortable and shut down. Is there other ways we can start to feel more confident in talking more about this?
So there's like that range again, like depending on that situation, like you're just going to have a different, deeper experience when you're in a coaching container with someone who can navigate you through those things, who has that experience and that trauma-informed background. And at the same time, there's definitely things you can start to do on your own. And I think that really comes down to building a relationship with your body. And so the big thing with that is giving yourself enough time and space to get quiet and to get still. It's very opposite of what most people's lives are like. And that's part of what perpetuates that disconnection with ourselves, is because we're so busy hopping from one thing to the other. We're not really listening to the signals our body's giving us. Often if we're tired, it's okay, squash that down, drink more coffee, do the things. Oh, I'm sad about things. I don't have time to be sad right now. Like, let's keep on going. And so it's being able to give yourself time and space to get quiet and get still. So one of the things I recommend to everybody is to have a weekly date night with yourself. We know how important it is to have date nights within our relationships, like keep that marriage alive after kids, so important. We understand how important it is to maintain our friendship relationships and to make connections, see each other, yet we don't hear about how important it is to do that for ourselves. And so I recommend that weekly date night with yourself. Do it on the same day every week. So that way it's top of mind. Like for me, it's Sunday night. So I know every Sunday night, that's what I'm doing. If someone asks for any sort of schedule thing that has to do with Sunday night, I know to try and move it, or life's life. Things are going to happen. Like for me, what kind of pushes it off kilter is having family dinners on Sunday nights. So I know, okay, I'm moving that to a Monday. So I keep that commitment to myself. And also, you know, if you miss a week, you get right back on it. You don't have to try and juggle things. And so with this weekly date night with yourself, it's making that space to get quiet, to get still. For some that are not used to this at all, that can just mean having a 10 or a 15 minute bath. I remember a period of my life where that was super uncomfortable and I could not sit still for 15 minutes in the bath. I felt like I needed to do something, like give me a pen and paper. Let's work through my to-do list while I'm in here. Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to look different for everyone. You can also weave in meditation. I have my Unapologetic Practices collection with different meditations and breath work and pleasure practices. That's great to weave in. And also something you can just kind of do building that relationship with yourself is thinking about different situations or different things and noticing what's going on in your body. Mm-hmm. A really simple practice you can do is just really knowing what a yes and a no mean for you. Because again, especially as women and feminine beings, we've squashed down our no's to people please others, to stay quiet, not make waves. And so really building that relationship with what that no feels like for you. Mm-hmm. And so that can be as simple as saying yes. Okay, what sensations are in my body when I say that with conviction? Likewise on the no, and like tapping into those sensations. And so when you're out being asked to add another commitment on your to-do list and you feel that no creeping up, you connect with it a bit more. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what, let's do this instead. Or maybe it's a no or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's finding those ways to weave those things in where you can just really tune into the sensations that are happening in your body.
And to even just like hearing you say to like sit down within, like to me, I'm like, oh, sit down for 15, 10 minutes. Like I can't even do that. Like my brain, like right? We used to do meditation at work and I would be like, I don't know if it's the greatest idea really meditation at work because I'm like constantly like, what happens if the door rings, who's going to get it? Or what if the phone rings, who's going to get it? I feel like that's probably the worst place to practice meditation, but
yeah, that makes sense.
But just meditation, perhaps maybe I just got into it not in the right time for me to rethink about it now of how I can start meditation slowly and just sit there and be present, because it's hard. Like I have ADHD, I'm self-diagnosed. So I'm like constantly needing to do things like 120 miles a minute to make sure I'm like, it's like my dopamine in a way, I guess. Mm-hmm. So for me to like sit there, it like blows my mind because I'm like, nope, can't do it. Like even for a bath, like I used to have baths all the time. And it's just kind of something I've definitely like moved off my path. And like, nope, I don't have time for that. Or mm-hmm. So do you, other than little, like, cause you know, like some people too, like they make goals for themselves, like every year there might be like, yes, I'm going to go to the gym and do X, Y, and Z. But I find too, those tiny little goals sometimes get slipped. So I know you mentioned a few ideas, but do you have other ideas for someone who's just starting, like that simple goal, maybe not if it's every week, maybe every other week, mm-hmm. that they can move into their time frame?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm all about the baby steps and building that foundation and those building blocks one manageable step mm-hmm. at a time, and wow. really having the consistency and the momentum with that. And so with that in mind, it's going to look differently for everybody. Wow. I do recommend weekly, just to be able to have that momentum and mm-hmm. that commitment. It's hard to do that with bi-weekly, it's a lot easier to fall off the wagon mm-hmm. when you're not doing it on a weekly basis. And yes, different things come up and sometimes it doesn't happen, but it's easier to get back on the path when it's a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of kind of those little steps, there's two things that came to mind while you were talking. And meditation, I think there's misconceptions around it that you're supposed to just like sit there and clear your mind, or you're supposed to sit there and listen to the meditation and be able to fully focus on that and not have thoughts enter your mind, which is like mm-hmm. totally not the case. The whole point for me of meditation is to train your brain to have these distractions pop in and allow them to pass through rather than to stick. And that is yeah. a practice. It's okay. a meditation practice. So this is how we train our brain. And it is completely expected to get a ton of different distractions going on. And mm-hmm. it's just slowly through practicing, you learn how to have them take up less space, not last as long, be able to refocus your attention more easily each time you sit down. And then I also wanted to touch on what you said of like, oh, I don't have time for that. How a lot of different people think that, or even yourself. I've thought that myself too. And there's one client I've been working with. We're coming to the end of our 10 session package. And she was very much of that mindset. This block would come up of like, there's something better I should be doing with my time. I shouldn't be like having my bath time. I shouldn't be doing pleasure practices. Like there's more important things to be doing. Mm-hmm. And a block for that that we worked through was her really being able to show herself why this is so valuable and being able to look at the evidence of when she does do these different things, how it impacts her life. So when she is busier, more go, 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 she ends up being more stressed out, more reactive to her family, not being able to show up as the mom she wanted, not really being the way she wanted to be for her husband, was being a bit shorter. There's more disconnection there. On the flip side, when she looked out those times she was able to maintain that meditation practice, or even after doing it one or two times, she realized, oh, I'm a lot more calm. I'm able to be present and actually like be with my kids playing and not be in my to-do list while I'm sitting with them. Oh, I'm able to like go for those hugs with my husband instead of like brush them off and those like busyness to-dos. It's like, okay, it is productive to slow down and do these things. It actually impacts my life in a better way than brushing it off and being busy.
Yeah, I like that. And I think in our culture too, we're just so prone to just be like, we'll look at 9-to-5 jobs, like Monday to Friday, 9-to-5, sometimes no breaks in between. And so we just kind of like pile on everything and really don't think that we have that time to really take those moments. Because I think in society, I feel like we tend to feel a bit guilty not doing all the things that we should be doing, because maybe we're comparing ourselves on social media or comparing ourselves in different ways. I think you're at the speaking conference about like just imposter syndrome as a mom, like feeling like I'm not good enough because I'm not like the super mom that can do all these things. And then you start to kind of spiral. Mm-hmm. I know, because you have two little ones too. When you started your journey, did you find it kind of difficult to kind of, were you like kind of like, oh, I love this full in? It sounds like, but did you find it kind of like difficult to manage like the general flow of everything with two little ones as well?
Yeah. So I had two kids under 2 years old. They're 18 months apart. I had four and a half years of back-to-back pregnancies and breastfeeding. So like, I fully get it. I was in the trenches. I felt like my body wasn't my own and got sucked right into that mommy martyrdom. Putting the entire family's needs ahead of my own, trying to measure up and make sure they have the right activities and that they're learning in the right way and developing in the right way and that the house is nice and decorated as well as being clean and like this, that, and the other thing. And it's way too much to keep up of or up with. It's this fake ideal we have in our head. It's not actually a real person. Right? Like often it's this idea of all these different things. And even if it was an actual person, chances are we don't know all the other things going on behind the scenes. Yeah. And so I think what helped me is shifting my perspective around me being a great mom, say particularly with the mom guilt and the super mom and that sort of thing, is reflective not in my productivity and how much I do, but in how happy and good my kids are in the different ways, like that they hold our values. Like that's what shows me as being a good mom, not having all of this busyness, right? And so I think what is helpful in that situation is getting really clear on your family values and focusing on that, using that as a meter stick of when these different things come up, whether it's invites to things or opportunities or even your own thinking, bringing it back to that yardstick and saying, okay, is this reflective to our values? How can we adjust it? How can we make it fit for us?
I like that. Yeah, never even thought of that. Love that.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the time because we're already 30 minutes in. For those just tuning in, you're listening to Breaking Norms, Building Dreams. We are live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. I was just, because I know we have some great questions here. And I was just like, as you're speaking, I was like looking at the questions. I'm like, which one should we go into? We should touch on maybe like the marriage as the foundation, because I think in today's society, yes, there's I don't know here in Victoria, but everyone seems to have two kids. No, I don't know if it's a Victoria thing, but everyone seems to have two kids. But you have your partner, and so having that time with your partner as well, maybe we can touch on that one.
Sure. Yeah. So I think kind of that foundation of the family, I'll say, like, we have ourselves, we have our marriage, and then our kids and all of these other things. And so being able to have that strong foundation within our partnership, whatever that looks like for everyone, for me, it's marriage, really starts with like, how am I supported, right? Like, I think a lot of the like stressed out and these different things, a big part of that is a lack of support. So when you have that strong foundation within your partnership, to me that includes being able to communicate like your needs, just checking in with how you are, feeling connected physically, like as humans, our bodies are incredible. And something that I think is just so neat is how our hormones react to touch and to sound. So when we hug our partners, we get the oxytocin flowing, all of these different things. And that like gives us a boost that helps us feel connected. It helps us feel safe. And those feelings last past those moments of that hug. And that's just like one example of those touches. And it really feels great for us. And this goes further down the road with pleasure practices, how it has this big effect. But staying focused on that relationship, as well as there's a study that is with teenage girls and their moms, and they looked at when they texted them throughout their day versus when they had phone calls within them or throughout the day. And the ones that texted their moms, there's little hormonal response, but the ones who had phone calls with their moms, they got those different happy hormone chemicals, oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine. And I think it really shows the power of speaking with our loved ones. And so when we are having those regular conversations, again, it's giving us that grounded sense. And that has that ripple effect of how we show up in our family when we are able to feel supported, feel connected, tag team our different things. Someone's feeling down, dealing with a stressful week. The other one is able to rise up and take on a bit more. And those tables kind of shift throughout life, right? But it really has that strong foundation so things don't crumble away. You're able to support each other through it. And it's not like it all breaks down in those moments of crisis.
And like you mentioned, communication, which is definitely key. I feel like I've been through a lot of different interesting relationships in the past before my husband. And just more or less, communication for me is something that I know I'm still working on. So do you have any kind of tips for anyone that maybe is kind of struggling on the communication bit?
Ooh, I would love to, because I think with that communication bit and those conscious relationships, we're choosing to communicate and work through our stuff together. And so we continue to raise each other up in that way. And so communication tips. My go-tos that I find I'm repeating to in different conversations in Facebook groups is to, when you're speaking about something, say, here's a simple example that was like me personally. Dinner times, super stressful. it's the end of the day. I would already be like, my stress levels are up there between the to-do list, the noise, having to make the dinner while hearing everything going on and shift into bedtimes, that sort of thing. And so for me, I talked to my husband. And so rather than being like, I'm so stressed out, you're not helping with these things, because it was kind of my responsibility to be cooking the dinner and that sort of thing, is rather than coming out as a tacky or you're doing this wrong, it's this is how I am feeling about this situation and this is how you can help me. And so in that example, I get really stressed out at dinners. It's the end of the day. There's a lot of noise. It would be really helpful for me if you could take the kids in the other room for 15 minutes, if you could set the table with the other things. So that way it takes that little thing off my plate. And I feel like I would just be so much less stressed out and be able to be like happier while we're out there together. So that key is like, really, this is how I'm feeling, and this is how you can help me, giving that roadmap. Because I find our partners generally want to help us, and sometimes they don't know how. Even if you give those hints, they don't necessarily get the hints we're dropping, and we just need to be flat out like, this is how I want you to help me.
That's true. I think we have to remind ourselves that we can't read each other's minds, even though we wish that could be a power that we had.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I love that. I love that because I do think communication definitely is the number one that a lot of people can struggle with. And so finding different ways to kind of maybe ask a different question. And as I like navigated my coaching journey, I was like, oh, maybe I need to start asking more curious questions than just assume or just, you know, put blame. So instead of just going in, like, I want to say defense mode, taking a step back and kind of rethinking what I'm going to say. And I know you talked about breath work. Do you kind of intertwine some of those? Because sometimes I'm super reactive. I'm not going to lie. Because I'm just like, nope, and then I react. But is there ways that you can maybe do like breath work with all of this as well?
Yes. So breath is a powerful tool that all of us have accessible to us, which I think is so amazing compared to all those different things that we learn like could be helpful. Like, we all have access to our breath. And so there are simple things. Just taking that moment to slow our breath, the slow inhales and exhales, to be able to relax ourselves in those moments can be so helpful. And like, I've taught my kids that. And if I'm getting stressed out, I'm like, I just need to breathe for a minute. And they say it themselves now too, which I think is really cool. Now, the breath work that I incorporate in my group programs and my coaching sessions goes on a deeper level. So that's more like meditative breath work, where we're breathing for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And so what that does is it allows us to get deeper into our subconscious and be able to rewire our nervous system. So part of what you had mentioned with that, like, defensiveness, that's that fight or flight response, right? It's the survival instincts coming up. It's that sympathetic nervous system, those reactions. And so breath work and the somatic work I do allows us to get in there and to actually shift things, because we can rewire those neural pathways, rewire our nervous system to have different reactions in those moments. And so it takes time, like, working through these things, but you can have, like, through a guided breathwork session, I have one on, say, self-love, that you're able to shift kind of your state, go into that subconscious where you're truly open to receiving, more so than your, like, go, go, go state, you're closed off. With breathwork, you open up and you can really implant, you can do your own program own programming instead of how you've been programmed growing up. And so it's like, no, this is what I want my beliefs to be, even though I've like grown up thinking these things. So with breath work, you can program yourself with these things. Program that when you're dealing with situations with your husband or your partner, I want to tend to myself. Oh, she's feeling abandoned or not loved. I can love myself. And then I can show up to these conversations from a place of love. And so that's like one example of how breath work can really help support this from a really holistic way.
I love that. I definitely, because breath work comes up in different ways with how you're doing it. Like with the, I work with a physiotherapist and like with them as well. And like my breath work, I'm just going to say, is not the greatest. They tell me like I do like short breaths and I'm not actually fully breathing within the diaphragm that you should be. And so like I've been practicing that constantly because I'm just on always, I think I'm always on that fight or flight mode, and I'm always in the fight mode. And so I'm just constantly just, I guess, I don't know what kind of breath work you would call it. It's not really breath work. It's like just breathing, barely.
Yeah, it's like your breathing behavior, your breathing patterns. My mom actually does a lot with breathing behavior analysis, looking at that breathing pattern. It's so interesting when you get into it, when you're anxious in that fight or flight, it's very short and you're not getting your oxygen, your CO2 that your body needs to be at that more parasympathetic calm state.
Yeah, I never even heard that there's a breath work analysis. That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah, there's so many different sides and flavors. Like there's the more like meditative side and the science side as well, which is suitable for depending on where different people's mindset is.
That sounds crazy. Now I'm going to have to like research this after.
Yes, we will chat after.
Just looking at our questions, as a mom, how have you actively worked towards empowering your own daughter with these lessons to pass to the next generations?
I love this question because, yeah, I think we're just such role models for our kids. And I think of it as like two sides of the coin with having a daughter and a son. And in terms of prioritizing self-care, prioritizing doing things for me, the woman, not just me, the mom, like it's okay for me to like go out for coffee with a friend just because I don't need a reason and all of those different things. My like mission with that, with my kids and being that role model is like one, showing my daughter that yes, this is what being a mom gets to be like. Like we don't have to be so self-sacrificing. It's important for us to be the multifacets of our womanhood and not just the mom. Being a mom is incredible. And there's other parts of us as well. And then I get to show my son as well, this is how a mom gets to be. And this is how you can support your partner. My son's already talking about getting a wife. And so like I get to show him, it's really cute. And so I get to show him how he gets to support his future wife and that standard he gets to hold instead of having those expectations that she's the martyrdom mom. He gets to be that encouraging husband of like, oh, why don't you go and do this for yourself? And then with that core of that self-love, that sense of belonging, I really try to lead that way again. Like I don't think I have ever talked negatively about my body or myself in front of my kids. Like there could be things that I can't think of, but that's something I try really hard to do. And I think that leads the way for them because even if we're not speaking directly to them, the way we speak becomes their inner thoughts. And there's something I heard recently is like, do we want the way we speak to them to become their, oh, I can't remember the words, but it was like inner cheerleader or inner critic. And so being really choosing the words we say around them helps with their inner voice, both for my daughter and for my son.
Yeah, I love that. I find like, because we both have a daughter and son as well. And I remember having my daughter and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so scared. Like I only wanted boys. And so when I had my daughter, I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. And then that was kind of also too my shift of like, I want to build this life because I want her to see that she can be empowering too for herself and others or follow her passion. But then when we had my son, I was like, okay, my mind kind of shifted a little bit. I think I talked to you maybe about Uplift. I went to Uplift, that networking. And it was just really tailored for women entrepreneurs, which is great. And maybe only 5 men showed up. But maybe if we had like a space of just like, yes, it is for women to empower them and move forward. But maybe if we kind of cultivate it where, yes, it's also a place for men to come and welcome and listen. Because if we start educating too, what we're feeling, what we're struggling with on a daily basis as women entrepreneurs or just women in general, maybe then they'll have a different kind of understanding too and come at it a different approach. And also too, for boys, unfortunately, there's still that kind of stereotype of like, boys don't cry, boys need to be masculine. If you're not masculine, then, you know, which is, it's just an old way to think. And so for me coming into this now with one of each, I'm like, trying to challenge, okay, yes, I'm doing this for my daughter, but I have to think of how to do this for my son. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can relate to any of that.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I think we hear all the time how the patriarchy has done all of these things to women and gender nonconforming beings, and the patriarchy has done a lot to men as well. Right. And then that pushback is almost on the flip side, teaching that masculinity is toxic. And so it's like all these mixed messages for boys and men of don't feel your feelings, don't be too manly. And I think it's so confusing and I just feel for them. And I think it comes back to one of those first questions of that foundation of the marriage, because I don't think the mom can do all of it for both. Like it takes both the mom and the dad that, and whatever that situation looks like. And it's often that like more feminine partner, that more masculine partner. Mm-hmm. And they each play a very important role for each of those kids. Yeah. Like the dad's going to teach the daughter different things and the son, same with the mom. And that's why I think it's so important to be on that same team, to really support each other and support the kids because they need it from different kinds of role models.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. Even like in our house, Mark, my husband's like the cook. I don't like to cook. I am like the cleaner. I prefer to clean because I'm very particular. So it was just kind of like that. Yeah. We've had that discussion of who likes what, who doesn't like what. And so we try to like make sure we take on different roles. Mm-hmm. So we're both not just kind of like, oh, I hate all of this.
Yeah, I cook, he cleans.
Yeah. I'm just looking at our time here. We're almost at a whole hour almost. I'm just looking at our questions. Is there anything top of mind maybe that we haven't talked? Actually, you know what? Before we move on to maybe last things, on the bottom of the screen here, you can see everyone who's watching YouTube or any of the live videos of different PDF items. Maybe you want to share what these are. I don't have my Google Doc here. So we have, one second here, banner, if you can see it. So we have the free honey pot meditation, the complementary catalyst call, and then the unapologetic practices. Maybe you want to explain each one for the listeners as they see it through the screen here.
Sure. And I just really quickly want to lead into something that's like bursting to share that weaves into those links. So one thing I'd love to share is that the greatest transformation comes through the taboo. Mm-hmm. And so sexuality is this huge taboo. And so the reason for that, how that works, is when we come and face these things that we are embarrassed about, that we have shame for, that we hide behind closed doors, we don't talk about, it has this massive impact because we are able to face these things, and it's a process of understanding them, accepting them, and then loving them. And when we can do that for those darker, more taboo things, mm-hmm. like we become unshakable, right? Different people might say different things. It's like, yeah, I faced that. I've accepted about it. What of it, right? And so that's why I think sexuality is such an important like portal for transformation. And that's why I do all of the self-love, empowerment, confidence, relationship work through that lens.
Yeah.
And so that's what leads into those different call to action links. I have my free honeypot meditation, which is just what one of the my client said is this unexpected visceral experience. And mm-hmm. it is building that relationship to your body. It's putting in mm-hmm. all of the different ingredients you want your sexuality to embody. Perhaps it's confidence, mm-hmm. sensuality, playfulness, and then infusing your body with it. So it's beautiful. That is completely free and available to everybody. I have a complimentary catalyst call, which is like your catalyst for change. And it's where we can just hop on a call, see where you are at, where you want to go, and how to help you get there, whether I can help you with some of the different resources I have available or a coaching session. We can navigate that together. That's completely complimentary. And my unapologetic practices collection is so a collection of meditations, breathwork practices, and pleasure practices that are very all-encompassing depending where you're at in your journey. And so those are often centered around like that self-love breathwork practice that I have, which is so powerful. That was one of my favorites going through my program, being able to just really rewire your system for that self-love, that safety, that belonging within yourself so you can show up more confidently. There is also the sexually empowered woman. And so it's what does this look like for me and rewiring those beliefs. Like I said, there's those different beliefs we've taken on, that programming we've taken on. And so this is how you get to program yourself. What does this mean to you? And that's going to look differently for everyone. So that meditation helps walk you through it. Then I have some really fun manifestation meditations that I love. Those are some of my favorite. And then a awaken your senses pleasure practice, which really weaves in like the scent of essential oils or candles, the feeling of perhaps a fur rug or a silk scarf on your skin, the taste of an orange or dark chocolate, and really bringing your senses fully alive. And so that really helps you to be able to tap into that throughout your life. Going on a walk in nature, you can tap into that fresh smell of the forest and the wind against your skin to this totally deeper level, which is pretty beautiful.
I love all of that. Thank you for sharing all of that. Looking ahead, do you have any kind of visions of the future for your advocacy and what you really want to push forward? I want to make sure we touch on that because I know you're always up to amazing things. So,
yeah. So I really spread my mission. I have this beautiful vision of just raising the vibration of the collective, one woman at a time, one yoni breathwork practice at a time. Mm-hmm. And so my podcast, Unapologetic with Janine McKinnon, is one of the ways I really spread that message, amplify that to women and people everywhere. And I've been doing more in-person events here in Souk, perhaps expanding into Victoria and other island mm-hmm. locations. That's because I think those in-person connections, mm-hmm. they just hit different. They have a different sense of magic to them. Like I kind of touched on with those hormonal mm-hmm. reactions. Like when we're just around other humans, other women, something special happens. So I'm weaving that more and more. Looking to do different workshops at retreats and things like that. And then there's just different group programs I have. Igniting your inner spark, And I just think it's such an honor to help women ignite that inner spark and how it impacts how they show up in their life, how they're able to lead their family, their friends, and then in turn, how they begin to show up in their life is just really special.
Well, I'm so excited to see what else you do because I know you're always doing great things. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Janine, and all our listeners, the United Public Radio Network, and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Next week, we have Lindsay coming on the show, and we're talking about consent-based marketing, their journey, and more. They're actually also my coach. I call them my coach, but they are also more of a sales marketing strategist. So I'm really excited for Lindsay to come on. Again, thank you, Janine, for coming on, our listeners. So with that, until next week, remember your journey is unique and your worth is unquestionable. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.